Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Kriya Bordhast. In 2013, two Spanish reporters, photographer Carlos Potono and reporter Guillermo Abril, began reporting on migration into Europe. They traveled from Africa to the Arctic. What they thought would be a story about the migration crisis turned out to be much more about the causes and consequences of Europe's identity crisis. They've told their story in a book called The Crack, their field journal. It depicts an encounter with sub-Saharan migrants in Gururu Mountain, the rescue of a raft off the coast of Libya, the exodus through the Balkans, NATO tanks on the Belarusian border, and Arctic forests where conscripts try to discover their own limits. The result is halfway between a photo book and a graphic novel. It's not a story based on actual events. These are actual events. Guillermo Abril says that what started out as coverage of the migrant crisis ended up being a series of stories about the European Union itself.
So the point wasn't what these people are doing, but how Europe is reacting. And we had the chance to see this reaction over at the borders, and we also had the chance to see the consequences during all this time. Since 2013, things have changed a lot. We have a country that no more belongs to the European Union, for example, and one of the big points for them to leave is this refugee crisis, or at least the immigration pressure. The intention of, since we got started until today when we decided to publish this story, was to raise awareness of what is going on in Europe. We had the chance to see it from the border. It's like the skin of a body, and say, hey, this is not only about immigration. It's not about refugees. It's about Europe and how Europe is coping with this problem. And Europe defining itself against this problem is what it's maybe breaking down, this big space of security space, a peaceful space with values and human rights, etc. That was Europe.
That's something Carlos Potono agrees with.
The lesson is there are actual deep cracks in the European Union. I mean, this is what I've learned. The differences between Western and Eastern European countries are deeper than we thought. I learned the Baltic countries are seriously concerned about Russia. I mean, this is a daily concern for them. They wake up in the morning and they think, are the Russians coming today? I don't know if they're exaggerating, but this is what they say and this is what they feel anyway. So why not? We should also listen to those kind of concerns. The lesson is, in fact, Europe has a kind of political union and economic union, but it's missing a little bit of emotional union. Northern countries have no idea what's going on in the south and vice versa, and to the same extent, east and west.
For years, the two reporters have witnessed the plight of these people up close. One of Guillermo Abril's most striking memories is something he saw in Croatia.
In Croatia, they had this fictional border. The people had already crossed the borders from Serbia to Croatia, which is European Union already. So they were in the European Union, but waiting in a train station. And in the train station, the police built like a new fence, and it was like the real border. Okay, so whenever they got in, people were in Europe. If they were on the other side, they were not in Europe. So they were letting people cross in twos, one or two people. So families were getting, I mean, it was like 1,000 people over there on the other side trying to get into Europe. And you had these kids crossing on their own, crying because their parents were still on the other side. Or maybe, I don't know, one mom crossed with the baby, but the bag that they were carrying with the milk for the baby was still on the other side. So they were, I mean, it was a chaos. Total chaos, and you could see, I mean, it was like this terrible thing that we haven't seen since the Second World War. The numbers are over there. It's not only the numbers, it's like the situation. It's people desperately leaving their countries because the bombs are over there. So, I mean, what I was trying to say is it's been very impressive, different places that we've seen, and it's been in crescendo. So it's like you start seeing one thing that is really impressive, and then you see 1 million people trying to cross into Europe. And we didn't see these million people, but we saw thousands of them over there. So that was really impressive.
His colleague says the search and rescue operations made quite an impression on him as well. When it came to writing the book, Abril says it was a real team effort.
It was Carlos who began building that story. It was the images that built this story. So, yes, I had to write in some other way because you cannot write very obvious because you can see it, but you have to write so close to what you see. You cannot separate yourself a lot from that story. So in Tembre, it was different, and I believe that it was quite an exercise for a writer to mean what you see is not the whole story. We try to tell something about you. You're not seeing Europe in the pictures, but all the time we had this idea of the kind of questions that we ask. We are the protagonist of their story. The big questions, what is Europe doing to solve this problem? I don't know. For example, we had it's not also only about refugees or immigrants, but it's also about European relationships with Russia in the eastern border. So we had to ask these big questions. What does Russia want for Europe? Do they prefer a united Europe, or do they prefer a Europe that is one country against each other? That kind of questions we tried to ask. I mean, we had to broaden the picture, and that was the exercise for the writer, to not only tell what you see in the pictures, but also to ask the big questions, to show the broader map.
The photographer, on the other hand, says both pictures and words are needed to tell this particular story.
Images, pictures, and words work very well together. I mean, of course, I'm a photographer, but I don't really believe pictures talk for themselves. At least not when you're really trying to deliver a very particular message and you don't want it to be misunderstood. Our book is not an intent to make something new or to make something creative or to do something interesting. Our book is the result of thinking how to deliver a message in the most efficient way, appealing to the widest audience possible. So young people, for example, how do we tell an 18-year-old European, how do I tell them what's going on in Europe in a way they can have an idea very clear in about 1 hour? That's why we thought, let's make this kind of graphic novel or photographic novel, or not even a novel. We still don't have a name for it.
They both hope that their book, their graphic journal, can help raise awareness.
Sometimes I say that this book should be, I don't know, for those people that, especially young people, the younger generation, if you have questioned the European Union sometime at one point in your life, I believe you should read this book. Because when discussing the European Union, we normally understate one point. That is the fact that people that are, I don't know, 60 years old or younger have never had to get a gun and fight for their country against the people that are living 200 kilometers away from their country and that are from another country. And that fact, the fact that we don't have any wars, should be over there all the time. We've seen the story repeats itself a lot. I wouldn't like a war between European countries. I believe there is a war right now. It's close to a third world war. The Pope even calls it like that, what we have in Syria over there, almost 80 countries participating in that war. The race of nationalisms, of populisms, all that, we've seen it following a path along the European borders. I don't know, Schengen, for example. It was something that was guaranteed 5 years ago. Now there are some countries that still have a special Schengen regime because of the refugee situations, etc. So I wouldn't like to wake up one day in 2 years and say, oh, so what happened with Europe? You know, it's vanished. I know it has a lot of problems, the European Union. It's not a perfect structure, but I believe in a united Europe.
Understanding Europe, that's another major point they wanted to make, says Portono.
I hope it includes a voice into a stream of voices raising the hand and trying to catch the attention to the fact that European Union is not guaranteed. We should not take it for granted. It's very obvious now with the Brexit. It's probably the deepest crack we have. Probably, I hope, EU will survive Brexit. But if there is another country, another big country, say France, there is a referendum and there is a Frexit, then the EU will not survive. And to me, that would be a real disaster because I really believe it's been useful. Even with all its failures, European Union is not really working well, but it's not working as bad as they say. I mean, after all, we've been in peace for 70 years, which is not a normal pattern in European history. So we should really keep this in mind. So what do I expect with this book? I expect that people start talking about the European Union as something to fight for, not just contemplate how it crumbles, but to do something about it.
Do something about it. That's the message slipping through the crack. After 3 years of working on the story, several covers, dozens of pages in magazines, and a World Press Photo Award, the authors have used their 25,000 photographs and 50 notebooks to give us their account of what is happening on the European Union's borders today.